WGTE presents in lovely, bustling Toledo, Ohio. It's a Wonderful Life. Season's greetings and happy holidays from the studios of WGTE to you and yours, wherever you listen tonight. We present for you an inspiring tale for the season about a community much like ours, performed by your neighbors, friends, and fellow Toledoans. It's a Wonderful Life could be the story of many of us, people with dreams, deferred or otherwise, people who live in hope, with love and doubts, where only Providence puts a final value on our service to humanity. Our story starts before the war, when life was what we called normal. Shortages were generally unknown, and maybe we were more naive about what the world was facing. This is the story of George Bailey, citizen of Bedford Falls, a town a lot like ours. The streets are deserted and snow is falling. It's Christmas Eve, and all about the town, bowed heads and hushed voices are praying for their friend, their neighbor, their loved one.
I owe everything to George Bailey. Help him, dear father.
Help my son George tonight.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
Help George tonight, Heavenly Father.
He never thinks about himself. That's why he's in trouble.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight.
Oddly enough, this story does not begin in Bedford Falls. In fact, it doesn't begin anywhere in the world. It begins in heaven, where the voices have reached a firmament full of stars, where the superintendent of angels has just summoned an apprentice angel named Clarence.
You sent for me?
Yes. There's a very discouraged man down there, Clarence. George Bailey. At exactly 10:45 p.m. Earth time, he'll be thinking seriously of ending his life.
Oh, dear, dear, his life. I've only got an hour to dress. What are they wearing now?
You'll spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
If I should accomplish this mission, I mean, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting for over 200 years now, and people are beginning to talk.
What's that book?
Oh, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. I was reading it when you sent for me.
Oh, fine book. Excellent. Well, you do a good job with George Bailey, and we'll see about your wings.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
Now listen, when George Bailey was a boy, two events occurred that you should keep in mind. One was when his young brother Harry fell through the ice and almost drowned. George saved him.
Here I go!
George! George, help!
I'm coming, Harry. Make a chain, gang. A chain!
Brother fell through the ice. George saved him.
Yes, jot that down. George saved his brother's life that day, but he caught a bad cold, which infected his left ear. Cost him his hearing in that ear. It was weeks before he could return to his after-school job at Old Man Gower's drugstore. This is the second event. Now watch closely.
Is that
an old-fashioned cigar lighter? Yes.
I remember those. I used to light the little flame and make a wish.
So did George.
Wish I had $1 million. Hot dog. It's me, Mr. Gower. George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
Who are those two?
Clarence, just watch.
Hello, Georgie.
Hello, Violet.
Hello, Mary.
2 cents worth of licorice shoelaces, Violet?
Mary was here first.
I'm still thinking.
Shoelaces?
Please, Georgie. I like him.
You like every boy.
What's wrong with that?
Here you are.
Thank you, Georgie. See you, Mary.
Made up your mind yet?
I'll take a chocolate ice cream.
With coconuts?
I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Don't you know where coconuts come from? Tahiti, the Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea. I'm gonna see them all.
Oh. Is this the ear you can't hear on, George Bailey? I'll love you till the day I die.
I'm gonna go out exploring one day. You watch.
George! George, where you been? Miss Blaine's called twice. And what happened to her prescription?
I'll find it, Mr. Gower.
Mr. Gower just received a telegram with some terrible news.
Is that what George is reading?
Western Union, we regret to inform you that your son, Robert, died very suddenly this morning of influenza. Stop. Everything possible was done for his comfort. Stop.
You lost it, didn't you?
No, Mr. Gower. Here it is.
Why, you good for nothing. Don't you know the Blaine girl's very sick?
Mr. Gower, my ear. You're hurting my sore ear.
I'll teach you to loaf, you lazy brat. I gotta fill this.
Mr. Gower, I don't think that this is...
Go on.
You put something wrong in those capsules, Mr. Gower.
Shut up.
I know you feel bad, but look, Mr. Gower, look. This bottle you used to make the capsules, it's poison.
Poison? Oh, George.
Don't hurt my sore ear again, Mr. Gower.
George.
That's what I was trying to say, Mr. Gower.
George.
All I wanted was to make sure.
Well, Clarence, that was George Bailey as a boy. When he grew up, he wanted to go to college, but there just wasn't the money. So he worked 4 years in the Building and Loan Association.
Building and Loan Association.
George's father was in the building and loan business, he and George's Uncle Billy. High ideals and low bank account. George worked for his father and saved enough to see him through the university. That summer, though, he was going to Europe. Got a job on a cattle boat. Do a little traveling before college.
Hi, Ernie.
Hi, George.
Hey, Bert, or should I say, officer?
George.
Well, say, Ernie, I'm a rich tourist today. How about driving me over to the office in style?
Sure, Your Highness. Hop in. And for the cares trade, I puts on my hat.
Here, let me get the door.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bailey.
Hello, Violet.
Hey, that's some dress you got there.
Oh, this old thing? I only wear it when I don't care how I look.
Boy, George.
No, that's just Violet. We've been friends since we were kids.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Nice suitcase, George.
Thanks, Cousin Tilly.
Avast there, Captain!
I gotta see Pop, Uncle Billy.
Some other time, George.
No, it's important.
There's a squall in there that's shaping up into a storm.
Bedford Falls, Building Savings and Loan. 1 minute.
Uncle Billy!
Who is it?
Bank Examiner!
Bank Examiner. I forgot. I should have called him yesterday. Switch it inside.
Hey, Pop.
All I'm asking is for 30 days more.
Sorry, Dad. Excuse me, Mr. Potter.
Just a minute, son. Just 30 short days. I'll dig up the $5,000.
Have you put any real pressure on those people of yours to pay those mortgages?
Times are bad, Mr. Potter. A lot of these people are out of work.
Then foreclose.
I can't do that. These families have children.
They're not my children.
But they're somebody's children.
Are you running a business or a charity ward?
Mr. Potter, what makes you such a hard-hearted character? You have no family, no children, and you can't begin to spend all the money you've got.
So, I suppose I should give it to miserable failures like you and that idiot brother of yours to spend it for me.
Hey, no, he's not a failure. You can't say that about my father.
George.
Well, no, you're not. You're the biggest man in town.
George, step outside, George.
Well, you're bigger than him.
George.
Bigger than anybody.
I'll finish in a moment, and we'll walk home, George.
Gives you a good idea of the Baileys. Who's that? A king?
That's Henry F. Potter, the meanest and richest man in the county. Now look, there's George and his father walking up to their porch now.
It's hard to realize it's my last night in the Bailey boarding house, working at the old Building Savings and Loan.
We're sure gonna miss you, George.
Well, I'm gonna miss you too, Pop. Pop, what's the matter? You look tired. I mean, is it Mr. Potter? I thought when you put him on the board of directors, he'd ease up.
So did I.
What's eating that old money-grubbing buzzard anyway, huh?
He's sick. Frustrated and sick. Sick in the mind and sick in the soul, if he has one. He hates anybody that has anything he can't have. I guess Potter owns everything he wants in Bedford Falls, except our building and loan. That's why he hates us the most.
George, Hey, George, can I borrow your tuxedo studs?
Yeah, well, help yourself, Harry.
Well, where are they? In your suitcase?
No, I'm not taking a tuxedo on a cattle boat, you know?
All right.
Where'd you get that suitcase?
Oh, it's from Mr. Gower. It's a going-away present. One of these days, you're going to see that bag all covered with travel labels. Italy and Baghdad, Samarkand.
Going to have a pretty full summer, huh?
I'm going to have a pretty full life.
I'm off. Hey, George, why don't you come to the dance tonight?
What? And be bored to death?
Couldn't want a better one. Lots of pretty girls.
Come on, Harry. Let's go.
Hey, I got to hurry.
I wish we could send Harry to college with you.
No, we've got that all figured out, Pop. He'll take my job at the building alone, work 4 years like I did, and then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job.
He's no younger than I was.
Maybe you were born older, George.
Huh?
George, when you get out of college, I don't suppose you come back to the building alone.
Oh, no, now, Pop, I just couldn't. I couldn't face being cooped up for the rest of my life in that shabby little office. Oh, no. I'm sorry, Pop. I didn't mean that. No, it's just this business of nickels and dimes. I go crazy. I want to do something big, you know, something important.
In a small way, we are doing something important, George. In that shabby little office, we help people figure out how they can own their own homes.
I know, Pop. I just wish I felt that I just feel like if I didn't get away, I'd bust.
Yeah, you're right, George. You get yourself an education, then you get out of here.
Ah, Pop. Hey, Pop, do you want a shock? I think you're a pretty great guy.
Well, thanks, George. I'm glad to hear it. Look, why don't you go over to Harry's dance? You'll have a good time.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I will drop in. Maybe I will that.
So, George Bailey went to a dance. Is that important?
Why, it was at the dance that he met Mary Hatch.
Oh.
And 3 hours later, he was walking her home. George and Mary were feeling pretty good, Clarence. As a matter of fact, wonderful.
Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight?
And dance by the light of the moon.
Hot dog.
Beautiful.
Boys, it's just like an organ.
At least.
Gee whiz. Hey, you know something? If it wasn't me talking, I'd say you're the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
I don't know. Maybe I will. Hey, how old are you anyway?
18.
18?
Too young or too old?
Oh, no, it's just right. It sort of fits you. Hey, look where we are.
Hmm? Ah, the old Granville house.
Yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Well, don't you know about deserted houses? You make a wish and then you throw a rock.
George, but it's such a lovely old place. I wish I lived there.
And there? I wouldn't live in it as a ghost. Now watch this. Here we go. How about it, huh? Pretty good shot, huh? Broke a window, huh?
What'd you wish for, George?
I don't know. Not just one wish. A whole hatful. You know, I said, Mary, I'm shaking the dust of this crummy town off my feet. And I'm going to go see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. And then I'm coming back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields and skyscrapers 100 stories tall and bridges a mile long. And then I'm going to Hey, what? You going to throw a rock, too? Hey, that's pretty good. What'd you wish for, Mary?
Oh, no.
Come on, tell me. What'd you wish for when you threw that rock?
If I told you, it might not come true.
What is it you want, Mary? Huh? What do you want? You want the moon? You know, just say the word, and I'll throw a lasso around it, and I'll pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea, and I'll...
Okay. The moon. I'll take it. Then what?
Then what? Then you could swallow it. And it'd dissolve like an aspirin, you know, and the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair, and then, huh. Hey, Am I talking too much?
Yeah.
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Wait, how's that?
Youth. That's wasted on the wrong people.
Hey, you know, just a minute, mister. Hey, you come back here and I'll show you some kissing that'll put some hair on the back
George.
Of your head.
George!
Hey, Uncle Billy, look here. I'm about to kiss Mary.
George, get in the car, quick. Your father's had a stroke.
What?
George, hurry!
Well, George's father died that night, Clarence. So, of course, George couldn't go to Europe. But that fall, just as he was ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan had a meeting.
I think that's all we'll need for you, George. I know you're anxious to make a train.
All right, I have Ernie waiting outside.
I want the board to know that George gave up his trip to Europe to help straighten things out here these past few months. Good luck to you at school, George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Now, we come to the real purpose of this meeting, to appoint a successor to our dear friend, Peter Bailey.
I'd like to get to my real purpose.
Well, wait just a minute now.
Wait for what? I claim this institution is not necessary to this town. Therefore, I make a motion to dissolve this institution and turn its assets and liabilities over to the receiver.
It's too soon after Peter Bailey's death to discuss chloroforming the building and loan. It was his faith and devotion that are responsible for this organization.
Peter Bailey died 3 months ago. He was not a businessman. Ideals without common sense can ruin a town. What do we get? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
Now, hold on, Potter.
George, your train.
Now, wait a minute there. Why my father ever started this cheap, penny-ante building alone, you know, I'll never know. But just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them working and paying and living and dying a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Well, anyway, my father didn't think so. You know, people were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, the cattle. You know, well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
Yeah, well, you're talking about something that you can't get your fingers on, and it's galling you. You know, that is what you're talking about. Well, just one more thing, though. This town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people could come without crawling to Potter. Now, come on, Uncle Billy.
What happened, George?
All we heard was a lot of yelling.
Boy, oh boy, you should have heard George.
Yeah, well, they're in there voting us out of business.
Who cares? I can get another job. I'm only 41.
45.
Will you get out of here, George? You missed your boat trip. You want to miss college, too?
George, we just voted Potter down. We're still in business.
Whoopee! We're still in business! We're still in business!
But there's one condition, George. They've appointed you to take your father's place.
Appoint me? But I'm going to college. Look, this is my last chance. Uncle Billy, he's your man.
George, you've got to take it. They'll vote with Potter otherwise. They said so.
George Bailey didn't go to college, did he?
No, Clarence, that's right. He gave his college money to Harry. Harry went instead.
What happened to that nice girl? You know, Mary.
Oh, George saw her now and then. Not very often, though, because Mary went away to school, too. George waited 4 years more for Harry to come back and take over the building and loan. He could still see the world. He planned to work in the oil fields, Venezuela. Except when Harry came home, he wasn't alone.
There she blows. Hey, Uncle Billy, you know what the three most exciting sounds in the world are?
Breakfast is served, lunch is served, dinner is served.
No. They're anchor chains, plane motors, and train whistles.
Peanut?
Hey, there's the professor now.
Boy, is it good to see you. You both haven't changed a bit.
Nobody ever changes around here. You know that.
Boy, am I glad to see you.
Say, where's Mother?
Oh, she's home cooking the fatted calf. Come on, let's go.
Wait. I want to introduce you to somebody. This is Ruth Dakin.
Ruth Dakin Bailey, if you don't mind.
Huh?
Well, I wired you. I had a surprise.
Well, what do you know?
Well, how do you do? congratulations. No. Congratulations. No,
hey, what am I doing? Harry, why did you tell somebody? What's a swell gal like you doing marrying this two-headed brother of mine?
Well, it's purely mercenary. My father offered him a job.
He gets to marry you and have a job? Well, Harry's cup runneth over.
George, about that job, Ruth spoke out of turn. I never said I'd take it. You've been holding the bag here for 4 years, and well, I won't let you down, George. I would like
to... No, hey, it's all right, Harry. It's all right.
George?
Yeah, I'm out here on the porch, Mother. I just thought I'd get some air.
Well, how do you like your new sister-in-law?
Well, she's swell.
Looks like she can keep Harry on his toes.
Yeah, well, we'll keep him out of Bedford Falls anyway.
What do you mean?
Well, Ruth's father, he's got a wonderful job for Harry up in Buffalo.
Buffalo?
Yeah.
Well, that means you can't...
Yeah.
George. Did you know Mary Hatch is back from school?
Hmm? Well, yeah.
Nice girl, Mary.
I mean...
Oh, stop grunting. What? Give me one good reason why you shouldn't call on Mary.
Well, Sam Wainwright. Sam's crazy about her. And he's got a big fancy job and lots of fancy money. And he's crazy about her.
Well, she's not crazy about him.
Well, now, how do you know that? But did she discuss it with you? How do you
Besides,
know...
Besides, Sam is away in New York.
Oh, and all's fair in love and war. Well, all right. I see. Okay, Mother. I'll go out and find that girl and do a little passionate necking.
Oh, George.
Now, goodbye, Mrs. Bailey. Hey, by the way, do you want any books from the library?
Library? George. George, you go and see Mary, do you hear?
George! Is that you out there?
Oh, it's, Hello, Mary.
Well, are you coming in?
Well, I just happened to be passing by.
Well, are you coming in?
Well, I just happened to be passing by.
Oh, I thought you were picketing. Have you made up your mind?
How's that?
Have you made up your mind?
About what?
About coming in. Your mother just phoned. She said you were coming over.
My mother just... I just happened to be passing by. And that's all.
Well...
All right. I'll come in for a minute. I didn't even tell anybody I was coming over here. Fella can't even go for a walk. When did you get back?
Tuesday.
Where'd you get that dress?
Do you like it?
It's all right.
Well, no point standing out here on the porch. Come on in.
Yeah, I still can't understand it. I didn't tell anybody I was coming here.
Would you rather leave?
No, I don't want to be rude. I'll sit down for a while.
It's nice about your brother and Ruth, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's all right.
Don't you like her?
Well, of course I like her. She's a peach.
Oh, it's marriage in general you're not enthusiastic about.
No. Marriage is all right for a lot of people. It's all right for Harry, Sam Wainwright, for you. I mean, for Sam.
Mary?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
What's he want?
I don't know. What do you want?
Me? Not a thing. Not a thing. I just came in to get warm.
He's making violent love to me, Mother.
You just tell him to go right back home. Sam said he'd call you tonight from New York, didn't he?
Oh, I guess so. George, how about some music?
You know, your mother needed... You know, I didn't come here to...
What did you come here for?
I don't know. You're supposed to be the one that has all the answers, so you know, you tell me.
Oh, why don't you go home?
I don't know why I came here in the first place, so good night. Good night.
Mary!
The way you're shouting, you think that you...
You think what?
Mary! The telephone! Oh. Mary!
All right. George, on your way out, would you mind shutting off the phonograph?
I'd be very happy to. Doggone crazy song.
Hello, Sam?
Harry, gee, it's good to hear your voice.
How are you, Sam?
I forgot my hat.
Hee-haw.
What?
I was just talking to an old friend of yours, George Bailey.
Old Mossback George?
Old Mossback George.
Well, put him on. I'll talk to him, too.
Oh, wait a second. George?
He doesn't want to speak to George.
He does so. He asked for him.
Did you call me? Because if you did, I'm in a hurry.
Sam wants to talk to you.
Oh. I'm,
Hiya, Sam.
Trying to steal my girl?
What do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal anybody's girl. Now, here, Mary, take the phone.
Wait, George. I want to speak to you both. Tell Mary to get on the extension upstairs.
I can't. Mother's on the extension.
I am not!
We can both hear. Just put your head a little closer to mine, George. There. That's better. We're listening, Sam.
Well, I have a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich. George, you remember that time you told me about making plastics out of soybeans?
Soybeans, yeah, soybeans.
Well, my father checked into it, see? And now he's going to put up a factory.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Factory, huh?
And here's the point, George. I may have a job for you, unless you're still married to that broken-down building and loan. Mary?
I'm here.
You tell that guy I'm giving him the chance of a lifetime. The chance of a lifetime, you hear?
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Now you give me that phone. Now I need you to listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics, and I don't want just any job, and I don't want to get married ever to anyone. You see, I want to finally do what I want to do. I want to do what I want to do, and it's just not...
George.
Oh, Mary. Oh, I'm sorry, Mary.
George.
Mary, darling. I love you, Mary.
George.
I do. I love you.
Well, well. So George Bailey and Mary Hatch
were... Yes, George and Mary were married. They started off on their honeymoon in Ernie Bishop's taxicab.
Hey, where are you two going on this here now honeymoon?
Yeah, well, we're gonna shoot the works, Ernie. It's a whole week in New York, a whole week in Bermuda, you know, the highest hotel, the oldest champagne, and the hottest music, and, well, and the prettiest wife.
So you're finally getting out of Bedford Falls, eh? Then what?
Well, then what, honey?
After that, who cares?
Oh, that doesn't... Hey, you know, Mrs. Bailey, I haven't kissed you yet.
Hey, George, there's something funny going on over there. Look, over there at the bank. It looks like it's run.
Hey, pull over there a minute, will you, Ernie?
George, let's not stop, please. Let's go straight to the station.
No, just wait a minute. I better see what it is. I'll be right back.
George, please. George!
In a few moments, we will return with the second act of It's a Wonderful Life. Before we do, we'd like to share some holiday cheer during this season. To our listeners far and wide, we thank you for the messages you've sent to us over the past few weeks, and it's our privilege to share them during our broadcast this evening. We know they'll reach the ears and hearts of whomever you are thinking of tonight.
From the both of us,
Steve and April Long,
we wanted to wish our family and friends warmth, happiness, and love this Christmas season.
And a promising new year.
I would like to send warm season's greetings to the Meyer family. I know that Heather, Larry, and Ella are listening, and I hope you guys stay warm and safe this season. Love, Natalie.
Hi, Eleanor and Junebug. Nana and Papa love you a bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck. Matthew, Abby, Matt and Kelsey, the apple cake is in the mail. Let the holidays begin. Love you, Nana.
To my family in Rossford, Kathy, my wife, my kids, Kelly, Liam, and Jack, this has been a rough year for all of us, but I'm so glad that we're together this year at Christmas to celebrate the holiday and to look forward to many more to come. Love, your dad. Merry Christmas.
Hello, this is Marilyn.
And this is Fraser, and we wanted to wish our family a very Merry Christmas and a happy New Year.
And although we're spending the holidays apart this year, we know that someday, soon, we will be together again.
Until then, know we love you all and hope you have a very happy holiday.
Merry Christmas.
We now return to Act Two of It's a Wonderful Life. Well, we're back in heaven again, where the superintendent of angels is reviewing the case history of a mortal named George Bailey. Clarence, the apprentice angel, is very eager to depart on his mission to Earth.
Poor George Bailey. Oh, he's certainly in desperate trouble. I'll go to him at once.
Now, you sit down, Clarence, sit down. We're nowhere near the point where George Bailey is thinking of taking his life.
We're not?
Now, where were we? Oh, yes. George and Mary had just started out on their honeymoon when they ran smack into the financial panic of 1932. In the waiting room of the building and loan, 100 frantic people were clamoring for their savings.
Hey, what's going on, Uncle Billy? What's happened? All those people out there, they're...
Tilly, lock the door.
This is a pickle, George. All I know is the bank called our loan an hour ago. Uncle Billy had to hand over all our cash.
Oh, holy mackerel.
Whole town's gone crazy. The bank's in the same spot we are.
Hello?
George, there's a rumor around that you closed your doors. Is that true? Are you all right? Do you need any police?
Police? What for?
What's going on?
Potter's just taken over the bank.
I may lose a fortune, but I'm willing to guarantee your people, too. Just tell them to bring their shares over here, and I'll pay them 50 cents on the dollar.
Well, you never miss a trick, do you, Potter? Well, you're gonna miss this one.
Oh, what are we gonna do? Our charter, too?
What about our charter?
Our charter says we have to stay open till 6 p.m. The state can take our license if we don't.
No. How can we stay open till 6 without any money?
I don't know. George, where are you going?
To open the doors. Now, come on.
Where's our money, George? Open
up. Now, listen, folks. Listen, just a minute, please. Now, wait a minute. Now, listen to me. Wait. John, just listen to me. Now, you're thinking of this place all wrong. Your money's not here. No. Your money's in people's houses. In Joe's house. Right next to yours. In the Kennedy house. And the McLaren house. And your house. And 100 others. Now, what are you going to do? You foreclose on them?
I got $240 in shares. Now, let me have it.
All right, Charlie. You'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, now, look, that's what you agreed upon when you bought your shares.
Well, I got my money. Old man Potter's taking over the bank. He'll pay you 50 cents on every dollar.
What about that, George?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Please, folks, please. I beg of you not to do this, huh? See, if Potter gets a hold of your shares, he'll be owning this building alone. And he's got the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, and now he's after us. He's after us because he wants to keep you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides. Well, now, Joe, you lived in one of his houses. Have you forgotten what he charged you for that broken-down shack? Now, here, Ed, you remember last year when things weren't going well and you couldn't make your payments? You didn't lose your home, did you? Do you think Potter would have let you keep it? Now, don't you understand what's happening here? Now, don't you see? It's Potter. Potter isn't selling. Potter's buying. And why? Because we're panicking. And He's not. But he's got us thinking he's here to help us when he's only ever figured out how to help himself. Now, we can get through this thing all right, but we gotta stick together. We gotta have faith in each other.
My husband's out of work. We need money.
I got doctor bills to pay.
I can't feed my kids on faith.
How much do you need? We still got some money.
Hey, Mary. You know,
here it is, George. You told me to hold on to it. Would have had a nice honeymoon. Bought furniture, too.
Oh, hey. Just wait a minute, folks. Now, listen, I got $2,000 here. Now, all right, Charlie. Charlie, how much do you need?
$240.
Now, Charlie, just enough to tide you over.
I said $240.
Okay. Now, Uncle Billy, give Charlie $240.
That'll close my account.
Now, your account's still here, Charlie. That's a loan. Now, all right, Ed, how much just to get you by?
$20, I suppose.
Now, not now you're talking. No, Mrs. Thompson, how about you?
But it's your own money, George.
No, never mind about that. How much do you want?
$20 would do me.
You don't have to sign anything. I know you'll pay. Good. Now, $20, Uncle Billy. Now, pay it back when you can now. And all right. Who's next? Mrs. Davis.
Could I have $17.50?
$17.50. Now, bless your heart. Of course you can have it. Mary, you got 50 cents?
That's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, look at the clock. Look.
5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3, 2, 1. 6 o'clock. We made it. Lock that door. You just quick. Boy, we're still in business, Uncle Billy.
George, there's a call for you.
Okay, now, and then call my wife, will you? She's probably over at Mother's.
Mrs. Bailey's on the line.
No, I say I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want my wife. Mrs. Bailey's my... that is my wife. Oh, no. Hey, give me the phone, will you? Thank you. Hey, Mary? Hey, listen, I'm sorry that I... What? Come home now. What home? 323 Sycamore. Whose home is that? Well, Mary, how can I... okay, all right, sure. I'll be there.
Hey, you can't use those. Those are the company posters, and the company won't like this.
How would you like to get a ticket next week? Haven't you got any romance in you?
Well, sure I had it, but I got rid of it.
Liver pills? This poster's selling liver pills. Who wants to see liver pills on their honeymoon? What we want is romantic places. Beautiful places. Places George wants to go.
It's George Burt. Here he comes.
Quick, let's get these posters up.
Oh, hi, Ernie. What's all this?
Hi, Jeff.
Good evening, sir.
Entree, Monsieur. Welcome to the honeymoon suite.
Well, all right. Honeymoon suite, huh?
Mary, what is this?
Welcome home, Mr. Bailey.
El Granville House. Mary, where did you...
Remember that night we broke the windows in this old house? This is what I wish for, George. This is what I wish for.
Truly
that was beautiful, Bert.
Shh. Let's go home. Come on, Ern.
They never went away on their honeymoon, did they?
They didn't. They settled into number 323 Sycamore and got to work, housekeeping and homemaking for themselves and for others.
Others?
Mary and George in the building and loan built up a neighborhood from the dust of an empty lot, a neighborhood filled with hardworking families owning homes for the very first time. Everyone called it Bailey Park.
Mr. and Mrs. Martini, welcome home.
Yee-haw, George.
Hey, what's Sam Wainwright doing here?
Don't worry about him. We're here, together.
All right.
Mr. and Mrs. Martini... We give you bread, that this house may never know hunger. Salt, that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever. Now, enter the Martini Castle.
George, over here. Me and the wife just stopped in town to take a look at the new plastic factory, and then we're going to drive on down to Florida. Why don't you join us?
No, I'm afraid I just couldn't get away.
Still got the nose to the old grindstone, eh? Mary, do you remember the time I offered to let George in on the ground floor of plastics and he turned me down cold? Missed out on a million.
Yes, I remember, Sam.
Well, we better run. Hee-haw!
That's a fancy car Sam's got there. It's fancy.
George.
Yeah.
George, let's go home. Let's go home.
All right, Mary. All right.
Two years passed when Old Man Potter asked George to stop over at his office.
Sit down, George. Sit down. Have a cigar.
Thank you, sir.
George, I'm an old man, and most people hate me. But I don't like them either, so that makes it all even. You know just as well as I do that I run practically everything in this town but the Bailey building alone. You know also that for a number of years I've been trying to get control of it, or kill it, but I haven't been able to do it. You have been stopping me. In fact, you have beaten me, George. And as anyone in this county can tell you, that takes some doing. Take during the Depression. You and I were the only ones that kept our heads. You saved the building alone, and I saved all the rest.
Yes, well, most people say you stole all the rest.
The envious ones say that, George. The suckers. Now, George, you're a young man. Married, making, say, $40 a week at the building alone.
45.
45. Now, if you were an ordinary yokel, I'd say you were doing fine. But George Bailey is intelligent, ambitious. He hates the building alone almost as much as I do. He's been dying to get out of this town ever since he was born, but he's trapped. Trapped into frittering his life away, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
Well, what's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is that you're the only man in town who's licked me, George. I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you off at $20,000.
$20,000 a year? Are you sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey. Don't you remember me, the building and loan? Remember?
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, providing he has brains enough to climb aboard.
Well, what about the building and loan?
Confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Is it a deal or isn't it?
No, the answer's no, doggone it. I mean, if you offered me $1 million to stay around this town and play stooge to you, the answer'd still be no. Now, let me alone. Don't bother.
Hi.
Well, hi.
Mary Hatch, why in the world did you ever marry a guy like me?
To keep me from being an old maid.
No, I was going to see the world. I was going to build things. I was going to give you the moon. No, what have I given you? What have I given you? Not even a new dress. Not for months. You mean you could have married, Sam Wainwright or anybody else in town.
I didn't want to marry anybody else in town.
Well, you say that now.
I want my baby to look like you.
I didn't even give you a honeymoon, and I promised you that. And you, what you want?
My baby.
You're on the nest?
George Bailey, Lasso Stork.
Well, Mary had a baby, Clarence, a boy.
You don't say.
Then she had another one, a girl.
Well, what do you know?
Night after night, George would come home late from the office. Things weren't good with the building and loan. Potter was really bearing down on him. Then came the war. Mary had another baby by then.
Oh.
But she still had time to help out with the USO. Uncle Billy sold war bonds. Bert the cop was wounded in North Africa. Got the Silver Star. Ernie the taxicab driver parachuted into France. And George's brother Harry became a real hero. Shot down 15 planes.
But George, what about George?
George was 4F on account of his ear. George fought the Battle of Bedford Falls. He was an air raid warden. Paper drives, scrap drives. On VE Day, he wept and prayed. And on VJ Day, he wept and prayed again.
We're getting pretty close to today, aren't we, ma'am?
Yes, Clarence. You now know almost everything you have to know about George Bailey, except what happened that finds him down there at this moment, wanting to die.
Well?
Today's the day before Christmas, the Earth time. George Bailey is pretty excited.
Hey, Tilly. Hey, look at the newspaper. Commander Harry Bailey decorated by the president. That's my kid brother. The Congressional Medal of Honor.
Gosh, George.
gosh.
Yeah, what do you think about that? 15 enemy planes, and the last one he got was just about to dive into a transport loaded with soldiers. You know what that means. He saved lives, hundreds of lives. Gee whiz. Hey, where's Uncle Billy?
Gone to the bank, George. He's depositing that $8,000.
Good, good, good. Oh, well, who's that in his office there?
It's that man again, the bank examiner.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Carter.
Well, I trust you had a good year.
Good year? Well, between you and me, Mr. Carter, we're broke.
Yes, yes, very funny.
Well, now, come right on in here, Mr. Carter. Tilly, get the books for Mr. Carter, will you? You know, that's my brother's picture there, Mr. Carter. He shot down 15 planes.
December 24th, 8,000, and there we are. Well, well, Mr. Henry F. Potter, come to the bank to deposit some more loot, eh?
Out of my way, you old fool.
How do you like the news in the paper, Mr. Potter? Here, look at it. Just can't keep those Bailey boys down now, can ya?
Let me see that newspaper.
Here. Sorry I can't chat, you old thief. Gotta make a deposit. Here you are. Deposit slip, bank book, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Mr. Bailey. Say, you've forgotten something. Haven't you?
I've forgotten things all my life.
But Mr. Bailey, where's the money?
What's that?
You want to make a deposit, don't you?
Certainly I want to make it. It's gone. Where'd I put it? Where'd I put that money?
A terrible thing, Clarence. Terrible. Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 was folded up in the newspaper he gave to Old Man Potter.
And he just took it, didn't he?
Well, here you are. Now, it takes a lot of character to leave your hometown and start all over again.
I know, but I can't, George.
Well, what do you want to do? You know, hock your furs and that hat, huh? You want to walk to New York? It's a loan. That's what it is, Violet, and that's my business, building and loan. But besides, you'll get a job. Say hello to New York for me, will you?
I will. I sure will. I'm glad I know you, George Bailey.
Oh, excuse me, Violet. Excuse me. George!
Hey, whoa. What is it, Uncle Billy?
The money. The money. I don't know what happened to it. I was filling out the deposit. I just don't know.
$8,000. Well, Uncle Billy, the bank examiner's here, eh? And that's not our money. It belongs to the depositors.
What are we going to do? We've traced every step I took. We can't stand here in the street.
All right. Are you sure you didn't put the envelope in your pocket?
I'm no good to you, George. I'm no good.
Now listen to me. Now think. Think, well, you know, just try and think.
George, I can't think anymore. It hurts.
Where's that money, you silly old fool? You see, you know what this means. It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. Well, one of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me, so just get out of my way. I'm going home.
George, dear. What's wrong? You haven't said a word since you came home.
Yeah, well, that banging on the piano. Does she have to keep playing the same song over and over and over again?
I have to practice for the Christmas party, Daddy.
What is it, dear? Another hectic day?
Yeah. It's another red-letter day for the Baileys.
Dad, the Murphy's got a brand new car. You should see it.
What's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
Yes, Dad.
Excuse me?
Excuse me for what?
My burr.
All right, darling, you're excused. Now, why don't you go upstairs and see if Zuzu's all right?
Zuzu, what's the matter with Zuzu?
Oh, she's got a cold. She's in bed. Caught her coming home from school. They gave her a flower for a prize, and she didn't want to crush it, so she didn't button up her coat.
What is it? A sore throat or what?
Just a cold. The doctor says it's nothing.
The doctor? Was the doctor here?
Well, I thought he'd better take a look at her.
Oh, it's this drafty old house. You know, it's no wonder we don't all have pneumonia. You might as well be living in a refrigerator. Why do we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's happened?
Everything's happened. Everything. You call this a happy family? Why do we have to have all these kids?
Daddy, how do you spell frankincense?
I don't know how to spell it. You just ask your mother.
Where are you going?
I'm going up to see Zuzu.
Hi, Daddy.
Well, what happened to you?
I want a flower.
No. Wait now. Where do you think you're going?
I want to give my flower a drink.
All right. Here. Give Daddy the flower. I'll give it a drink, see?
Look, Daddy. The petals are falling off.
Yeah. Well, all right now. I'd say I'll paste this together. I'll just keep the petals safe right here and...
In my pocket, the pocket of my jacket. They'll be safe there. Now will you do something for me?
What?
Will you try to get some sleep?
I'm not sleepy. I want to look at my flower.
Yeah, I know. But you just got to go to sleep. And then you can dream about it. It'll be a whole garden.
It will?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
All right, there we are.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Welch. I'm sure she'll be all right. The doctor says that she'll be out of bed in time to have her Christmas dinner.
Hey, is that Zuzu's teacher?
Yes.
Let me speak to her. Oh, Mrs. Welch, well, this is Mr. Bailey, Zuzu's father. Now say, what kind of teacher are you anyway? I mean, what do you mean, sending her home like that, half naked?
Stop.
I mean, do you realize she'll probably end up with pneumonia because of your stupidity?
George.
You know, maybe my kids aren't the best-dressed kids in town, but at least, hello? Hello? Janie, will you stop playing that piano? Now, just cut it out. Stop it.
George, for heaven's sakes, what's wrong with you?
I'm sorry, Mary. I'm sorry, Janie. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just got to get out of here. I just got to get out of here.
Bedford 247, please.
Is Dad in trouble?
Shall I pray for him?
Yes, Janie. Pray very hard.
Me too.
You too. Hello, Uncle Billy. It's Mary.
So, that's it, George. You're short $8,000 in your accounts, eh?
Please, Mr. Potter, I'll pay any sort of bonus or, interest. If you still want the building and loan, why I...
Have you notified the police?
No, sir, I don't want the publicity. It's Harry's homecoming tomorrow. And
why come to me? What about your good friend Sam Wainwright?
I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
What kind of security would I have, George? What collateral?
Yes, sir. Well, I have some life insurance here. It's a $15,000 policy.
What's your equity in it?
$500.
And you want $8,000? You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. Well, what are you but a warped, frustrated young man, crawling on your hands and knees for help? Why don't you go off to the riffraff you love so well? Ask them for help.
You see, I'll do anything, Mr. Potter. Please, just please help me. My wife and kids.
I'm calling the district attorney. $500. You know something, George. You're worth more dead than you are alive. Now get out of here. Get out!
And all the time, Potter had the $8,000 in his desk drawer. It's still there, Clarence.
But where is George? Where?
Well, he went over to Martini's Cafe. He's had a couple of drinks, Clarence. He's just standing there, sort of in a daze.
Oh, God. God, dear Father in Heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there... And if you can hear me, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God.
Mr. Bailey, you all right? Don't drink anymore, Mr. Bailey, please. You don't look good.
Bailey? You say Bailey? Which Bailey?
This gentleman is Mr. Bailey. George Bailey.
George Bailey, huh? And the next time you talk to my wife like that, you'll get worse. It isn't enough that she spends all day teaching your stupid kids how to read and write. You gotta ball her out.
You get out of here, Mr. Welch. You hit my best friend. Get out.
All right, I'm going.
Mr. Bailey, you okay?
Who was that?
Mr. Welch, but don't worry. He won't come into this place anymore. I'll get you something for your face. It's bleeding.
No. I'm all right.
Please don't go,
no,
Mr.
Just,
Bailey.
Just leave me alone. You know,
Mr. Bailey.
You hear me? Leave me
please
alone.
Please don't go that way, Mr.
Hey,
Bailey.
Hey, let me alone!
Well, George left Martini's Cafe 5 minutes ago, Clarence. He's at the river now, on the bridge, looking at the water. Are you ready, Clarence?
All ready.
Very well. Save George Bailey's life, and you'll get your wings.
My wings? Oh, thank you. George! George Bailey! Get away from that bridge, do you hear me? George! George!
In just a moment, we'll bring you Act 3 of It's a Wonderful Life. Before we do, we'd like to share some holiday cheer during this season. To our listeners far and wide, we thank you for the messages you've sent to us over the past few weeks, and it's our privilege to share them during our broadcast this evening. We know they'll reach the ears and hearts of whomever you are thinking of tonight.
Hey, Quincy and Milo. Grandpa and I sure do miss you. We look forward to seeing you soon and giving you both a big hug. Lots of love, Grandma Jo and Grandpa.
It's Katie and John from England.
We just wanted to wish our family in Canada and the States a very Merry Christmas.
We miss you loads and we wish we could all be together.
Love you all.
Hey, this is Casey from Ohio. We're not doing family visits this year for the holidays, which is going to be really hard, but is ultimately the safest choice. But I thought, you know, I'd take this time to wish everyone in the Wakefield and the Droll and the Sherritts and the Sorrelses, the Rectors, whoever will listen. I love you all very much. Happy holidays again. Bye.
Hello. I would like to send some season's greetings to the sick and shut-in. I imagine that the sick and shut-in is at an all-time high, so I hope you're cozy and you enjoy this programming.
Hi, this is Erin. This year, I am extra thankful for my family and friends, thinking especially of my grandparents, who I won't be able to see this year. I hope you have a happy and healthy holiday season. Love and miss you dearly. Merry Christmas.
Now, 10 seconds for station identification.
This is Public Radio FM 91, WGTE FM Toledo, WGLE Lima, WGDE Defiance, and WGBE Bryan.
Now back to Act 3 of It's a Wonderful Life. Numb with despair, convinced, as Mr. Potter said, that he's worth more dead than alive, George Bailey stands on a bridge staring at the dark and frigid waters below. Suddenly, there's a splash.
Help! Help! I'm drowning!
No, that's not George. That's Clarence, the apprentice angel. And there goes George in after him.
Hold on.
Oh, help.
No, I'm coming.
Help.
I'm coming.
A few minutes later now, and in the bridge keeper's shack, George and Clarence are drying off.
You both sure you're all right? Want a doctor?
No. I'm all right.
Oh, I'm fine. This underwear, I didn't have time to get anything more stylish. My wife gave me this on my last birthday. I passed away in it.
You what, mister?
Oh, I see Tom Sawyer's drying out, too.
Who?
My book. I left in such a hurry, I brought Tom Sawyer with me.
How'd you happen to fall in?
Oh, I jumped in. I jumped in to save you.
You jumped in to save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide.
Hey, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yes, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Where do you come from?
Heaven. I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me. And you see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Oh, that's very funny. You're very funny.
Your lip's bleeding.
Yeah, well, I got a bust in the jaw in an answer to a prayer a little bit ago.
Oh, no, George. I'm the answer to your prayer.
How'd you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you.
Well, who are you supposed to be anyway?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody? AS2, what's that AS2 for?
Angel, second class.
Hey, I'm getting out of here. You may not need a doctor, but I do.
Cheerio, my good man.
Hey, look here. Why do you want to save me?
Because I'm your guardian angel, George.
Oh, well, see, well, you look about like the kind of angel I'd get. What happened to your wings?
I haven't earned my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
Oh, I see.
But you can help me earn them, George, by letting me help you.
Well, you don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do you?
Oh, no. We don't use money in heaven.
Well, that's right. Yeah, well, I keep forgetting. It comes in pretty handy down here, bub. Well, of course, I found it out a little late. You know, I'm worth more dead than alive.
You mustn't talk like that. I'll never get my wings if you keep feeling that way. You just don't realize what you've done for folks. Why, if it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, well, you know, if it hadn't been for me, everybody would be better off. You know, my wife, and my kids, and my friends,
oh,
just everybody.
Oh, this is not going to be easy.
They'd all have been better off if I'd never even been born.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
George, that's wonderful.
Wonderful. What?
The idea you just gave me. You got your wish. You've never been born.
I've never been born.
Exactly. No worries, no $8,000 to get nothing. You simply don't exist.
All right, okay, all right.
George, I can do things. Strange things. I can show you the world, George, the way it would be if you hadn't been born.
Hey, wait a minute. This bum ear of mine, say something else in that bad ear, huh?
You don't have a bad ear anymore. Oh, I don't think you're concentrating. Don't you see you're not the George Bailey you think you are? You're nobody.
Oh, well, that's the doggondest thing. That ear.
Your lips stop bleeding too, George.
Yeah. Whoa. Say, what's happening around here? What is this anyway? You know, I need a drink. That's what I need. What about you, Angel? You want a drink?
Well, I don't quite know.
Well, come on. We'll go as soon as our clothes are dry.
Our clothes are dry, George.
Hey, so they are. That's funny. Well, hey, look, let's get dressed and we'll stroll over to Martini's then. Oh, excuse me. I meant I'll stroll, you'll fly.
Ah, no. I don't have my wings.
Well, you don't have your wings yet. Well, that's right. Well, I forgot. A couple of drinks and we'll both fly.
What do you have, fellas?
Hey, where's the boss? Where's Martini?
Look, wise guy, I'm the boss, see?
Okay. Well, double scotch, quick, will you?
What's yours?
I would just love some mulled wine.
Huh?
Heavy on the cinnamon and light on the cloves. Off with you, my lad, and lively now.
Now cut it out.
Come on here. Now, just give him the same as my order. He's okay now. Just two double scotches. Hmm? Yeah, what about this place? It's all changed.
All of Bedford Falls has changed.
Bedford Falls? This place hasn't been called that in years. You're in Pottersville, bub.
What do you mean, Pottersville?
I mean, Pottersville.
What's going on?
You're having your wish, George. You've never been born. Oh, there'll be lots of things you've never seen before. Oh, good. Somebody just made it.
Made what?
Every time a bell rings, it means some angel's got his wings.
What'd you say?
Hey, look, Clarence, I don't think you better talk about angels around here.
Don't they believe in angels?
Well, yeah, they believe in them, but you know, it's just...
Then why should they be surprised when they see one?
Hey, don't mind him, bartender. He's just a little fella that, you know, never grew up. Hey, how old are you anyway, Clarence?
Well, next May I'll be 293.
Hey, mister. You buy me a drink, mister. Just one drink, will you, mister?
George, look.
Hey, it's Mr. Gower. Hey, Mr. Gower. Listen, Mr. Gower, don't you know me? This is George Bailey.
That does it. Oh, go. No. Get. But
no,
you hear
please.
Me? Get. Hey, throw these two out along with that rummy Gower.
Hey, bartender, that's Mr. Gower, the druggist.
Wait, that rumhead spent 20 years in jail for poisoning some kid. If you know him, well, you must be a jailbird yourself. Wait, Pinky, There's two more. Get them out of here.
Well, hey, get me. I'm giving out wings.
Get up, George. It's a good thing he threw us in the snowbank, eh?
Where's Mr. Gower?
Mr. Gower doesn't know you, George. You see, you weren't there to stop him from putting poison into that prescription.
Now, what do you mean? I wasn't there. Look, I mean, look, tell me, what are you, a hypnotist?
George.
Well, why am I seeing all these strange things?
Don't you understand? It's because you were not born.
Then if I wasn't born, well, who am I?
Nobody. You have no identity.
What do you mean, no identity?
No papers, no cars, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy.
Oh, not here.
What?
Zuzu's petals. I promised to paste them back onto a broken flower. And, it's gone. They're gone. It's just everything's gone.
But you've been given a great gift, George. A chance to see what the world would be like if you'd never been born.
Nah, you're crazy. You're crazy as a bed bug, and you're driving me crazy, too. Now look, I'm going home. I'm going home to my wife and my family, and do you understand that? And I'm going home alone. Hey! Where'd the building and loan move to?
What?
How did you get here?
With you.
Where's the building and loan?
That went out of business years ago, when your father died.
Hey, no, there's my pal, Ernie. Ernie! Hey, Ernie!
Where to, pal?
Hey, Ernie, you take me home. You gotta take me home. I'm off my nut.
Where do you live, buddy?
Doggone it, Ernie. Don't start pulling that stuff on me. I live at 323 Sycamore.
323 Sycamore?
Yeah. Hurry up. Zuzu's sick.
Okay, buddy.
Hey, look, Ernie. I don't know what's happening. I'm going crazy or something. I've got some bad liquor. Now, look, tell me this now. You're Ernie Bishop, right? And you live with your wife and your kid down in...
You've seen my wife.
Seen your wife? Yeah, I've been to your house 100 times. We built it for you, didn't we?
Look, bud. My wife took the kid and ran away 5 years ago. And I ain't seen you before in my life, see?
Okay, Ernie. Okay, just step on it. Get me home. Mary? Mary, where are you? Janie? Petey? Zuzu? Zuzu, where are you?
This is just an old abandoned house, George. You have no wife, no children.
No. Where are they? What have you done with them?
Bert, Mary? There you are, Bert. Mary, crazy, are just you? Like I told you.
All right, up with your hands.
Oh, Bert, the cop, thank heaven you're here. Now what happened? Where's Mary? Where's my wife and kids?
Now look, why don't you be a good fella, and I'll take you to a doctor.
Bert, hey, no, Bert, now listen to me. Now, what's the matter with you guys? Now listen, it's that fellow there. He says he's an angel. Now, he tried to hypnotize me.
I hate to use my nightstick, but I guess I gotta... Ow!
Run, George, run! He can't hit you while I'm biting him. Ah! George, run! My teeth aren't what they used to be. Help, heaven, help me!
Where'd they go, Ernie? I had him right here.
I don't know. The one ran off with the other, and they just disappeared.
Mother! It's George! It's George!
George? George who?
Me, I'm your George. I thought for sure you remember me.
If you're looking for a room, there's no vacancy, and I don't take in strangers.
No, I'm not a stranger. I know everybody you know. Your brother-in-law, Uncle Billy.
You know him?
I sure do.
When'd you see him last?
Today. It's over at the house.
That's a lie. He's been in the state hospital ever since he lost his business. And if you ask me, that's where you belong.
I'm here, George.
It's my mother. My own mother didn't even know me.
You know, if only Harry were here, if my brother were only back from Washington,
Your brother fell through the ice. What? And was drowned at the age of 9.
No, that's a lie. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Strange, isn't it? Each person's life touches so many other lives, and when they aren't around, they leave an awful hole, don't they? Harry wasn't there to save them, because you weren't there to save Harry. Don't you see, George? You really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?
Clarence.
Yes?
Where's Mary? Please. Where's my wife?
I'm not supposed to tell.
No, tell me where she is.
You're not going to like it,
where
George.
Where is she? I'll choke it out of you if I have to. Where's my wife?
The library. Huh? She works there. She's just about to lock up for the night, so I... George, come back! Oh, there must be some easier way for me to get my wings.
Mary, hey! Hey, Mary!
I'm sorry. The library is closed.
Mary, it's George. Don't you know me?
No, I don't know you.
No, Mary, please.
Hey,
no,
let me go.
Don't do this.
Let me go.
Please, Mary, help me. No. Now, where's our kids? I need you, Mary. Now, just help me, Mary.
Get away from me.
Help me, Mary. No, Mary. It's me. I'm George.
There he is.
Hey, he's over there. Get him.
Cut him off. Get quick.
Clarence? Hey, Clarence! Clarence, where are you?
I'm here, George.
You gotta help me, Clarence. Help me get back. See, I don't care what happens to me. Just only get me back to my wife and my kids. Please, I want to live again.
Oh, thank you, George. Thank you, Lord.
I want to live again, please, God. Please, let me live again. It's snowing.
George, is that you down there? George!
Now, you get out of here, Bert. You get out of here. You get any closer, and I'm going to let you have it.
What the Sam Hill are you yelling for, George?
Now, come on, Well, George, no, say, Bert, do you know me?
Know you? I've been looking all over town for you. Where you been?
Bert, I'm alive again. Oh, Bert.
You sure you're all right? Hey, your mouth's bleeding.
It is. Oh, hey, my mouth's bleeding. Look at that blood coming out of there, would you? Oh, Zuzu's petals. They're here. Bert, I had them in my pocket. What do you know about that? Hey, Merry Christmas, Bert. Hey. Mary! Hello, Bedford Falls! Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter! Yippee! Now, Mary, whoa,
what's with all these people? Are these reporters? Well, hey, Merry Christmas, reporters. Hey, Mr. Bank Examiner, Mr. Carter, well, Merry Christmas.
Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
Well, I know, $8,000, I'll bet, huh?
George, I've got a little paper here. I'm sorry.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. What? Isn't that wonderful? Well, where's Mary, you know? Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Isn't it wonderful? No. Hey, have you seen my wife? Where's Mary?
Merry Christmas,
Merry
Daddy.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Kids, hey, kids, no. Oh, Pete, Janie, Tommy, I could just eat you up. Hey, where's your mother?
She went looking for you, Daddy, with Uncle Billy.
Daddy.
Zuzu, oh, my little ginger snap. Hey, how do you feel?
Fine,
Daddy. Not a smidge of temperature.
Not a smidge of temperature? Hallelujah!
Hello?
Mary!
George!
Oh, darling. Mary, Mary!
George!
Mary.
Darling, where have you been?
Oh,
George!
Mary,
George.
Just let me touch you.
Oh, George!
You're real. You're real. Oh, you have no idea what's happened to me.
You have no idea what's happened here either. They're on their way.
Who?
Here.
Who's on their way? Oh, the police department? The FBI? The National Guard? See, I'm alive again, Mary. Now, listen, Mary. I'm alive again.
Yes, darling. Now, close your eyes and come on downstairs.
What? What is it, Mary? What's going on?
Now, keep your eyes closed. I'll just walk you right over here by the Christmas tree.
Well, there's people. There are a lot of people. Lots of people.
No, just really. Just 1 minute now. Just 1 minute. We're all ready, Uncle Billy. Come in, everybody.
In, George.
Oh, Merry good. Christmas. Hiya, George. Merry Christmas.
George, look. Just look.
Uncle Billy.
Money, George. A laundry basket filled with money. Money for you. Mary did it, George. Mary.
I don't understand. It's what money?
People heard you were in trouble, darling. These people... your friends. They've collected this money for you. The $8,000.
Oh, wait, now, Charlie. Oh.
Thank you, George.
Oh, Martini, Mr. Martini, and Mr. Gower. Hey, how are you, Mr. Gower? Mrs. Thompson? And Tilly, it's.
Happy holidays.
It's everybody.
None of us would have a roof over our heads if it wasn't for you, George. I busted the jukebox, too.
Gosh, this is wonderful. Hey. Hey, Mary, look who's coming in. Mother, hi. Mother.
Where have you been, George?
Mother, hey, whoa, and Harry.
I got Mary's telegraph, George. I flew in as fast as I could.
Hey, just a minute here. Quiet, everybody. Now, this telegram just got in, and it's from London. Mr. Gower cables you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
Hey, everybody! A toast! How about a toast?
Good idea, a toast. To my big brother, George. The richest man in town.
To George!
Hooray!
And Mary.
Daddy, my petals, you didn't forget.
No, forget? No, not here, honey. Here they are, right here, I have them.
Darling, what's on this table here? What's this book?
I see it. Adventures of Tom Sawyer. But look, there's something written in it. Dear George, remember no man is a failure who has friends. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence.
Clarence?
Yeah. He's a very dear friend of mine.
Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
That's right, Zuzu. That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence. Attaboy. Happy landings.
This was a production of WGTE Public Media in association with the University of Toledo Department of Theater and Film. It's a Wonderful Life, adapted from the original Radio Lux broadcast script and featuring the voices of Kate Abuabsi, Kari Marshall, Seth Crawford, Eleanor Murphy, Justice Hager, Dylan Sickles, Ed Lingen, Holly Monsos, Mark and Molly Foss, Ethan Taylor, June Murphy, Caleb Johnson, Zeke Roberts, Brad Cresswell, Grace Mullinex, Alexandria Rayford West, Matt Murphy, Carlos Washington, Aaron Coyne, Emily Damschroeder, Alex Simon, Bradley Hall, Jay Dickerson, Ralph and Sandra Felzer, Matt Foss, Haley Taylor, Chelsea Cree, Bill Stewart, Kelsey Murphy, Bailey Flint, Jackson Howard, Thomas Glanville, Bill Walsh, and the Whatever and Ever Amen Vocal Ensemble. Special thanks to Morgan Lemansky, the University of Toledo Department of Theater and Film, Dr. Tammy Kinsey, and the Glass City Theater Collective. Local productions like this are made possible by listeners like you. Support local programming at WGTE.org. From our families to yours, we wish you the warmest of holidays. Be well, stay safe, and may goodness find you and yours in this coming new year.